gets you high like a big pizza pie. That's amore.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Michael.
And this is Pizza Nerds, a podcast about making great pizza at home.
This is the second episode in our Neapolitan series. Today, we're talking about dough and technique.
Today, we are joined by our friend and producer, Griffin. Hi, Griffin.
Hi, Kendra.
We've had Jason with us up until this point almost, but Jason's got a baby at home, and a baby at home, so...
Very sorry.
Griffin's stepping in. We're so happy you're here.
Glad to have you, bud.
Okay, so last week we did like a major overview of Neapolitan pizza, and in this episode we are
nerding
hard, man, on the two recipes that we chose.
Yes.
So just so everybody understands, we're going to kind of actually walk through the process of mixing and shaping both of these recipes because they are different. And then we'll go into how you bake them and all the things. Like it's this is all you need to know in terms of the dough.
Yeah. And just to remind you, we chose to give you two because one of them is very easy and it's very good. The other one takes a decent bit more time, but it's like really, really good.
Really good.
So basically our thought was if you really want to cook Neapolitan pizza, but you don't want to put a lot of time into it, we do have a good recipe for you. But if you just really want to own this, put the time in, you're passionate about it, then we wanted to give you something great to cook with.
Because this is the one that I don't think I'll use another recipe again.
Right.
Like this is
it's
the
worth
winner.
It to me.
This is the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
Also, we're going to go through all of sort of the specifics of these recipes, but we're not going to go into the weights of all the ingredients and that kind of thing. You can look that up on the recipe itself. We'll just kind of go through the steps of how it's made.
Cool. Let's all do right. it. Yep. So we're going to start with the easy one.
Yep.
Which is a based off a King Arthur flour recipe. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I actually did not make this one.
Oh, that's right.
I never made this one.
You did eat it though.
I did eat
it. Yeah. We had it together that night.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
Yeah.
So since I have never made it, I feel ill-equipped to explain how to make it. So
yeah.
Can you go through the mixing and the shaping of this?
Sure. So the crazy thing about it is there's almost no steps. You just, you take one, this is what we love about it, is you take one container, you pour all the ingredients in and mix them up until, and really you don't even use a mixer or anything. You mix it with your hands. You put the lid on and you wait for 24 hours.
And that's
how you make the dough.
Oh, you know one thing we didn't talk about in the previous episode that is very characteristic of Neapolitan pizza? There's no oil and there's sugar.
Oh,
we
right.
never talked about that.
Well, yeah, because you're right, because we didn't get into ingredients.
No.
But that's a good point.
So it is just flour. We use bread flour for both of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bread flour, yeast, instant yeast for both.
Yep.
Pretty sure, right?
Yep.
And salt and water.
Yep.
And that was it.
And like we mentioned last time, you could use it to be authentic if you wanted to go and get some 00 flour. You could do that. Some grocery stores or specialty grocers have it. It's expensive.
It is expensive.
And but it could be a fun treat.
Great, so
yeah, bread flour does work great.
So, well, that was easy. That's how you mix it.
So that's how you mix it and you wait for 24 hours. And this one's fun because you really do see it doing stuff. So if you were to look in after 12 hours, you see bubbles in there and it smells like yeast and like dough. And so it will look kind of crazy after 24 hours. And at that point, you're going to just kind of gently dump it out because it's a very wet dough. It will dump out. You can't really reach in and pull it out like a dough ball. You sort of let it almost like gloop out onto the counter and you're going to divide it into portions at that point. And
with a bench knife, I'm guessing.
Is that yeah, with a bench knife.
Yeah.
And that kind of depends on how big you want your pizzas to be. I think I've done roughly like thirds for this recipe.
Uh-huh. How many grams is it, Michael?
I knew you were going to ask that. And I saw you smiling before you said it. Well, I mean, you know, my go-to is 350.
We all know my go-to is 350. We all know.
So, yeah. So I would do that
one
personally.
Thing, of course. One thing though, I haven't made this. But I feel like it's important when you have any kind of dough that has a lot of air and you want to preserve the air.
Uh-huh.
And when you are dumping it out, you don't want to like turn it over and let it fall out. You want to like turn the container to the side and let it eat. Like, yeah, let it gloop out, ease out.
Yeah.
Because if you drop it from too high, then you'll likely lose a lot of the air that you've developed. So
yeah,
just
like
be gentle.
Pancake when
you, you don't want to pancake your pizza. That's very
No, sad. That's a great point. Yeah, so then you would after you divide it up, you would make them into dough balls gently.
Yeah. We're going to try to have some video of some of this stuff, but like when you say shape it into dough balls, like how taut is the actual surface? How tight it, like, what does that look like?
It does behave differently than the New York style that we did last time. So with those, if you guys tried those and if you looked at the videos that we put up about them, they pinch up into like a really tight, it's like a really an airtight ball. In fact, do you remember that video I showed you of a guy sticking a needle and actually inflating it?
That's right.
Yeah. So they're that tight.
Yeah.
And sort of solidified around the outside. This dough does not do that.
No.
So what you want to do with this is really all you're doing really is trying to help the process in an hour when you shape it into a pizza. Mm. So you're trying to kind of round it out so that it's not, because you know, when it's in the big pile on your counter and you cut it with a bench scraper, they're going to be in kind of odd triangular sort of shapes that are going to make it really hard to make it circular when it comes time to bake it. And so what you need to do is just sort of gently just tuck the edges under. Don't worry about pinching it super tight. Just get it sort of.
Don't punch it down.
Don't punch it down.
That stuff, right.
Just sort of gently shape it into a ball type shape and then put it in a container where you can cover it and let it have another hour in that shape. That will make it relax again from whatever air you did work out of the dough in that process.
Because how long does it rise? Okay, so it does the 24-hour rise, bulk rise. How long after you shape it do you let it rise before you bake it?
It's like an hour before you bake it. So a good rule of thumb there is just like when you preheat your oven, just go ahead and divide those and shape those dough balls.
I wonder, I haven't done this, but I think I will, is once you, maybe you could dump the container and tell me if this would work. Uh-huh. What if you dumped the container onto a big sheet tray, covered in parchment, maybe a little flour or whatever? Because do you use flour as you were helping shape it or no?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, but I guess you could. You could do that. Well, I didn't. It wasn't sticky enough that I had a major problem with that.
Okay. I guess the flour is irrelevant to this, but it's more like if you were to cut it and basically like cut it and shape it on a surface that it's going to rise on for the hour. So you don't have to transfer it to something else, which is another way that you might lose bubble, like the less you handle it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if you could like, you know what I'm saying? Like cut it on the sheet pan
and just
shape it, just
there.
Leave it and cover it with a towel or whatever. Cause it's not like it has to, cause it's just going to sit on the counter again.
Yeah. I do think that since you have an hour, that will erase some of the issues if you did overhandle it a little bit.
That's true.
When we get to the part of shaping the pizza right before you cook it, that's where you really can do the damage. That's like it's not going to have time to relax and sort of rise, I guess.
That's very smart. That's very smart. Okay, so that's the mixing and shaping of that first recipe.
Yep.
Okay. Now the mamma jamma.
Yes.
The real good one that takes forever, but is worth it.
Yeah.
All right, so this one we got from LA Magazine, LA Mag. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about the mixing because I made it last night. I also get a nerd award because I had to stay up until after 11 making pizza dough because I started too late. So it was a long night, but it was very therapeutic. It was lovely. Okay, so this is the same one. It's in terms of ingredients, it's still just bread, flour, salt, yeast and water.
Yep.
You start by mixing everything but the salt. It's flour, water, and yeast. And actually, the way that the recipe describes it is you put the water in the bowl first, you put the flour on top of it, and then the yeast on top of that.
Right. So the yeast and the water aren't touching it at the very beginning.
Which I'm wondering, like, how much of, like, is that just to sort of stall the immediate activation of the yeast in some ways, like it's protecting a little bit. I just always found that really interesting because you're still just going to mix it right away.
Right. And they call for cold water.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things I wondered if the shop
stalls it.
Yeah. That's what you meant by stalled.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And so maybe it's getting like intermixed with a bunch of flour. So maybe it doesn't shock it the same way.
Because really
we know that cold water can cause yeast not to activate.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's why in a lot of other bread recipes, it's like and that's one of the reasons that yeast is a little bit scary for people is mm-hmm. like, what if my water is too hot and I kill the yeast?
Right.
So cold water is not going to kill the yeast, but it also like doesn't give it a jump start the same way that warm water does.
Right.
So,
and a lot of times with pizza, you're actually trying to do the opposite. You're almost trying to give it a handicap in a way. Like
you want it to take
like
a long
if
time.
You imagine a race and you're telling somebody to start actually like 50 yards back
yep.
because you want it to slowly do its work right. instead of speeding off.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent analogy.
Hey.
So you put in the water, the flour, the yeast, you mix it together really just until it comes together. I just use a dough hook. Like it,
yeah,
it
me too.
Comes together so easily. Like it's not, it doesn't really get stuck to the sides. Like it's really easy. And then you cover it and let it sit for 20 minutes.
Did you leave it in the bowl?
I left it in the bowl.
Me too.
The autolyse. Mm-hmm. And then after that 20 minutes, you add your salt.
Yep.
And just a refresher, the reason that is because salt isn't, see, this is another thing that's so interesting though, because salt is another handicap to yeast,
uh-huh.
but maybe that's too much of a handicap. Like it messes up with the autolysis process. If you have salt during that resting.
Yes.
So you still want to handicap the yeast, but like not to the point that the salt would. So
right. It's giving it like that 20 minutes to begin doing the work that it does.
Cause it won't do any work if the salt is in it too soon or something. So then you add the salt. It's a lot of salt. It's going to look like
it
too much
a lot
salt.
Of salt. Yep.
It's going to look like too much, but it's not.
Yep.
And then you mix that together for 2 or 3 minutes in the same mixing bowl with the dough hook if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let it rest another 20 minutes
in
the bowl.
In the bowl.
Then you take it out. And this dough is so, you described it to me today as silly putty.
Yeah, it's like a huge ball of silly putty.
It is, it's so fun. It becomes more silly putty-ish as it goes on.
Over
it's
the next
wild.
Like hour and 20 minutes, it's going to be freaky how much it changes. Yeah.
So you have like a big container. And one thing that I tried to do was to have rather than have a tall container, have a wide container.
Yeah, me too.
And so, because I think that helps later with shaping and all the things. So if you can have go for wide, more than tall. And a little oil in there,
mm-hmm.
put the dough in there, and then you cover it 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes you come back and you just fold it four times. Like you bring the four corners together and then you leave it.
You bring the four corners together,
and
flip it over,
yes,
and then you
it.
Actually like press it down.
And that's what you do, but you have to do that 5 times. You have to fold it 5 times. 5 times 20 is 100. So that's 100 minutes, which is a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
But it's not hard.
No. Yeah. I think I told you like I was reading to my kids. It was around bedtime and I just put a timer on my phone and like, I was like, all right, I got to go downstairs for a second.
Real quick.
And I could be back in like 45 seconds.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it takes
fast.
Such a, now you bake a lot of other things too.
Yeah.
There are other types of dough that are folded,
but
it's to create a layering effect, right?
Yes, that's true. Like puff pastry.
And so you might think that this would do that, but it doesn't do that at all.
No.
In that 20 minutes, it almost just reincorporates into a solid mass again. I mean, there you can still see the folds a little bit, but it's not like you're creating that flaky biscuit deal or something like that.
Yeah, the folding is not. No, I think that's a really good point. The folding is not to make layers. I think the folding is like, again, I think that handicap racer thing is really smart. It's
slow kneading.
It's like the absolute least amount you can do other than the other one, the 24-hour just dump and leave it. But this dough looks really different.
Very different.
Very, very different. It's much easier to work with. It doesn't feel, I mean, you still want to be gentle. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. Like it resembles what you would think of as pizza dough more than the 24-hour one,
right?
Wouldn't you say?
That's definitely so. Yeah.
So you do that for the 5 times for the 20 minutes with wet hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it.
So
it doesn't stick. And then you leave it out for an hour at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it in the fridge
for
48, 72 hours.
Yeah. I don't think there's a huge, I think you could.
Not a big difference.
Depending on your schedule that week, just figure out which night makes most sense to make it
at least 24.
Yeah.
Don't
24 to 72.
Yes.
You could probably stretch it out even another
any
day
longer,
if you needed.
I know. Yep. I bet it would be great. And it will definitely, I would say it doubles. Like it gets a little bit bigger. It does get bigger.
Yeah.
So you don't, when you put the dough in, you definitely want the container to have space for the dough to grow. Cause it is going to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the mixing. Like that's significant mixing. And again, it takes like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
Yeah. I think it, if you can think of it as a, as an activity, as something that's fun.
Yeah.
Cause it is, it's actually in a way it's more fun.
It's just very pleasant.
Yeah. And it's very interesting to see what happens to it over that time and to feel it. It's, we're going to post some videos and pictures of this too. Yeah. It's a very fun dough to make.
It is. So let's talk about the shaping. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like in the recipe it said that, so you leave it in the fridge for, you know, however long. Mm-hmm. It's not shaped yet. It's not in dough balls yet. It's still in one bulk.
Right.
So when you pull it out of the fridge, does the recipe say like 3 hours before, 5 hours? How many hours before? Because we found this dough is really, cause Griff, you saw us trying to shape this dough and how it was like bubble wrap. Like it was
like a competition in opening a can, like, and you try and you try. I soften it up for you. You try.
We couldn't get it to stretch out. It was so hard. Yeah. And then, it tasted great and it baked up really well, but we couldn't get it to stretch. And we found out that it wasn't because, and it didn't feel cold. Like it was technically room temperature, but it hadn't been out long enough.
Yeah.
And, I had mine when I made it at home, it was, 6 hours. Like I pulled it out at, like before lunchtime and shaped it into balls. And then I left it on the counter and it was night and day. And we actually, if you remember when we were making it, because we made a lot of pizza that night that we made this when Griffin was there. And the last dough ball, you were like, which recipe was this? And I said, no, that was the LA Mag one. You were like, no, that wasn't, because this was so much easier to stretch. Yep. And it's because it had been out for like 2 hours longer than the other ones.
Yep.
So, it's an important one that you want to give a lot of hours to in that second rise.
Yep. Yeah. And in fact, so he, in the recipe says at least 3 hours. And then also they say in the refrigerator, 1 to 3 days is ideal, but it can go up to 5 days.
Nice. Okay. So, one thing when you're shaping it is the same thing with the King Arthur one, is you want to be gentle and kind of getting it out of the container, and it is going to have a little bit of some air bubbles, but it's not super wet. Like it's a lot easier to work with. Mm-hmm. And you use your bench scraper to cut the dough. If you want to weigh it, it's great. And then you can gently, it's the same kind of thing. Like you want to be just as gentle and kind of forming the dough balls. And it is again, so that you're giving yourself a head start when you're going to actually like shape it for baking. Mm-hmm.
And even though these are both, there's similarities between them, they feel very different at this point, like very different.
Yeah.
The King Arthur one is so wet that you're just, it's going to happen really quickly that those dough balls will get formed and you'll put them down, where the LA Mag took it's a denser dough. It takes like a little more work to like get that to, and actually, I don't know if this happened with you, but while I was forming them, it got some like very surface level bubbles that popped up too. Yeah. And that's when a couple of times, I think I did pop those, like tore a tiny little hole in it. And the nice thing is with 6 hours of room temp, that stuff will sort of quote unquote heal up. Yeah. I mean, it'll sort of reincorporate and get smooth. But they do behave a lot different.
They do. I wasn't kidding when I said it was like trying to pop bubble wrap, like that resistance that you feel when you're popping, that's how this dough feels when it's cold.
Yes.
And you're shaping it when it's cold. So it does feel like, I don't know that I ever thought like, what am I doing wrong? I was just like, this is weird. Yep. Like it just wasn't like a dough that I'd experienced before, but it also works. It's the best one.
Yeah.
So, that's shaping it into dough balls, but this is important for both pizza recipes in terms of going from dough ball to flat pizza before it goes in the oven.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So I would like gently try to press the air a little bit out of the center. And then, again, we'll try to put a video, but it was sort of like, I would just grab an edge and just gently like lift it up and out and keep doing that and just like lift it up and out. And it was like mostly circular, but this dough is not meant to be perfectly symmetrical. Exactly. Like New York style is like, it's really fine if it's a little bit more, like loose in its shape.
That's right.
But you don't want to like flip it around. You don't want to use like a rolling pin. You don't need to toss it. You don't need to do any of those things. You just want to like be so gentle with it so you don't lose the air.
Yeah, I think fingertips. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what I did too. Just sort of like start to spread it with the fingertips. Yeah.
And then just lift.
And I like the lifting and pulling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I even lifted it off the counter much.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. No.
I think I did with the LA Mag one because you'll be able to tell if you do that one. It definitely has more structural integrity to it. Where the King Arthur one, you're just gonna, it won't lift off the ground like that. You just kind of pull it, and that's like we talked about last week with the hallmarks of the style is that they're not always round. They've got the funny little corners sometimes, and
right,
it's all good. That stuff makes it fun. And
do you shape it on like I think after the first pizza, I started to just shape it on the parchment that I was gonna. Like mm-hmm. bake it on.
Yes, I did too.
Because then it's just too hard to lift. Uh-huh. So just go ahead and do that whole thing, like stretch and pull, right on the surface, put everything on it pretty quick.
Yep.
And then you can slide the parchment paper circle 3 times fast mm-hmm. onto your peel and then mm-hmm. put it in your preheated oven, friends.
Yes.
As high as it'll go with a good surface.
Yep.
A steel, a stone, cast iron.
And this is where, I mean, we keep repeating ourselves about the surface, but of all the pizzas, this is the one that you really can't do without a stone. I mean, I don't think anyone will be happy with what they get if they bake this on a cookie sheet style pan.
It just won't work. It won't be at all what you're hoping for.
Yeah. I mean, you have to imagine we're trying our best to mimic a dome wood fired oven that has a brick surface inside. Yeah. And so
this gets real hot,
which gets really hot. And really the best that we can do in a home oven is to create a surface that's hot like that.
Right.
And then cook it as similarly as we can. The broiler method works great.
I love the broiler. Tell us about the really broiler great. Method.
And we did talk about it a little bit in the New York style one, but the basic idea is you preheat for an hour, your surface at as hot as your oven will go. And then before you put your pizza in, you switch it over to the broiler on high, and sometimes electric ovens, and maybe gas ovens do this too. But if there's a certain temperature inside, there's like some kind of safety thing where it won't turn on the broiler. And so sometimes you have to actually leave the door open for 15 or 20 seconds and let it, you know, kind
like
of trick
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool enough to where that heating element, turns back on. But the idea is that you won't lose the heat off the surface, like your stone or steel, in that amount of time. And so when you put that pizza in, the goal is to get as much heat on that pizza at once as possible.
From
because
top and
that's
bottom.
What's going to, from the top and the bottom, yep. That's what's going to give you the air bubbles and mimic that dome oven heat.
Yep.
And so if you can get it coming from the bottom from your surface and then really concentrated heat coming from the top off the broiler, in my opinion, and from a lot of things that I've read, that is the closest you can get to it.
And the problem is, if you have my oven, which is a gas oven, my broiler is not like a long, like swirly serpentine coil.
Yeah.
It is a line down the middle.
Flame.
It's an actual flame. And so what I had to do, I try to mimic that as much as I can with having having my oven rack as close to the top of the oven as I can.
Right.
And so it's just like containing all that heat in one place.
Uh-huh.
So it's not at the bottom of the oven, it's the top of the oven.
Yep.
But then I would like do it for like 3 minutes and then I would turn my broiler on, my actual flame, and then I would like put the pizza on the peel and then I just like wave it under the fire.
Yeah.
And it didn't, you know, I don't know that necessarily offered the same like approach for the actual baking, you know what I mean? Like it didn't necessarily like come from top and bottom like the broiler would, but it did help me get some of the spotting a little bit more that I might've missed from that. And so it's kind of like a good cheat. So if you have a gas oven or a really lame broiler, like I do, that's kind of a hack for that is you might not be able to cook it with a broiler, but you can finish it under the, like wave it under the broiler to finish and it works great.
Yeah. And I did that same thing, the waving it, finishing it under mine too. And that's mimicking something that they do in the dome ovens, which is they pick that up and they do,
they take it to the fire.
Yeah. Well, it's not the fire. It's actually the top of the dome.
Don't the flames go up over the,
A little bit, but the flames are kind of in the back of that the oven. It's if you imagine like the heat rising to the top of that dome, all of that, and the heat that's absorbed into the material of the dome, because that's like 12 inches of like fiberglass or cement or something, just like heated as hot as it can possibly go, and they finish it like that.
So fun.
Yeah,
and then you eat it. Right away.
Right away. That's right. Right away.
It's so good right away. So just to go back, recap the baking parts of it. So you definitely want to preheat your surface for an hour, highest oven heat. And I would say for this one, we already said parchment, but like use parchment because it is such a wet dough, it's going to stick if you don't. So just go ahead and do like a parchment circle. You'll save your life.
Yep.
Finish it under the broiler, and these pizzas both should absolutely take less than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The favorite one from Ellie Mag took about 3.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was like three to four. Like it really did not take very long. Awesome.
Okay.
So I mean, obviously, like go with your instinct because it could be that your oven is not calibrated right. It might not be quite as hot, that kind of thing. Like definitely trust your instincts more than the timer, I think.
Yep.
And you are trying to look for like really good color on the bottom, even a little bit of like I got a little char on the bottom and then it's some color on the top as well. So you want that leopard spotting.
Yes.
It's the right term. So I really, really hope. I really hope people make this recipe.
I know, me too.
It's just so good.
It's rewarding.
It's very rewarding. Yeah. Yeah. And it's again, just to kind of go back to what you said earlier, like we didn't think in last week, like we didn't think we'd get there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the closest that you could really get without being like one of the pizza masters. I can't think of the name of the pizza master or having a wood fired oven. Like it's just so good.
It's so good.
So we're so excited for you guys to try it. The links will be on the website.
Yep. And that website is pizzanerds.co. We have our recipes posted there. We've got recommended products and things that you can get to up your pizza game. Also follow us on Instagram, Pizza Nerds Co. We post pictures there as well as some videos. We will have pictures of some of the different dough that we talked about today.
Thanks so much for listening to Pizza Nerds. I'm Kendra. He's Michael. And we are glad you're a pizza nerd too. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.